Hebrews 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this is so the speaking of substance, the speaking of evidence, things that are normally touch. So, evidence is not seen, hoped for. So I know this verse freaks people out because it doesn't always go with, you know, those of us who want to see stuff empirically proven and stuff like that. But this is very much what happens when one is designing and building something, and you are thinking, you're seeing something that is not yet there. You have to, and if the builders and if the architect and if the, especially the master builder, if they are not able to at least have some idea, okay, obviously the blueprints, that's what points them in that direction. But if they don't have this ability to see ahead and envision, it makes it really difficult for them to really get to the right end product. And I was at the beginning of this year, and specifically around the vision that God has given us in terms of God's building, I want to encourage us to trust God to grow in this capacity. Rick Warren says faith is the ability or seeing from God's point of view. Let us make it one of our things that we want to grow in this year, is to say, God, I want to, in every situation, I want to learn how to see from your point of view. I want to see what you see. When I look at a person, I don't want to be distracted by the exterior or by the facade or by what I see. I want to see what you see. Some of the most powerful experiences I've had with ministering to people that I don't know, say on just a random encounter or street evangelism or something, and you'd find somebody that is maybe very intimidating on the outside, you know, lots of maybe like a goth look, or you know, maybe lots of piercings or tattoos and hair, and then it's so easy for that exterior to intimidate, so that we actually don't get to see what God sees. But when we do, it's so powerful to see God minister to the person behind all of that. Amen. Let me not get sidetracked. So, faith is not a feeling. It's not a desire. It's not a place of psyching ourselves up for something. It's so easy to think, you know, if I just do this harder this year, if I just put more in, things are going to change. But that's not how faith works. Faith, the scripture says, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith has more to do with us getting to know the God that we trust in, to a place where we are so intimate in our knowledge of Him that we understand, and it's so easy for us to know His will. It's easy for us to see from His point of view. Amen? All right, so now, when you look at this analogy of the building, God is the architect, right? So he has got the plans. And it's, if one looks at the scriptures, it's really amazing how it refers to days of our lives being written down. It refers to plans that he has for us. It refers to even before we are born, that, you know, he kind of mapped out something for us. So there's definitely this powerful image of a plan and a design. And what a blessing for us too. And that's what one of my challenge for us this year is to say, or the beginning of the year, to say, Lord, I want to make sure, I want to make sure I fit into this design. Because maybe on a big plan or a big blueprint, you and I are a small part of the big picture. But, you know, let us trust at the beginning of the year that we are flourishing in that place where God has put us. Now, the picture I get when I think of a master builder, and scripture refers to us being living stones. But let's actually just look at the next scripture, Ephesians 1, from 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is a prayer, right, being prayed for the Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And so what he's talking about here is in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's basically what one needs to see. The eyes of faith. One needs to be able to see through the eyes of faith, to see from God's point of view. And then he takes it further. He says, if we don't look through the eyes of faith, he says we need the eyes of faith. We need the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, the exceeding greatness of his power, and it goes on. And I pray that we would know this year. How often do we just cruise through a year or just kind of stumble through a year and we don't even know what God has prepared? We're not even sure of the riches of the glory and the power that he has toward us. Okay. Let me just go on to the 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing that happens once when this building process is going on, right? Once the kind of things have been measured out and the corners have been marked, then they start digging the foundations. Now, if you take it into more of a city context, have you ever walked past a building site in a city and there's nothing going on? There's just kind of this boarded fence thing, and you can't see much. You just see some bits of machinery sticking out. And then maybe there's a truck going in or something, and the gate opens, and you look, and you don't see much, but you just see this massive hole going down. That's crazy. Have you seen that? And then you know, okay, this means they're going to go high, because the deeper they go, the means the higher they're going to build. And it's amazing to see what has to go into those foundations and how extensive they are. To be able to build those high rises that they do. I remember working in a building in Pretoria when I was in the Air Force. I'm not at liberty to say which one. But there were more stories underneath than there were above. Okay, that's not normally the case. But it was more to do with a nuclear bunker thing. Anyway, so. But the amazing thing is to see the amount of extensive work that has been done in the foundation. And the picture that I had was, again, at the beginning of the year, to look at the foundations that we have laid, that are laid in our lives. And no one can lay any other foundation than that which is Christ, that we've seen now. And as believers, the picture that I had was that we need to make sure, and that there's grace at the beginning of a season, the beginning of a year, to trust God, to make sure that the foundation is firm, but across the whole building, across the whole body of us as a local church family, but also in our individual lives. I had a picture of a house which had a firm foundation, but then there was maybe one or two rooms on the side which were on a different foundation. And there were just massive cracks forming and massive, you know, kind of tearing apart happening. And I just felt that there was grace at the beginning of this season, the beginning of this year, to say, Lord, even those parts of my life that I've been reluctant to open the door to you in the past, even those things that I've been kind of holding on to, that I've been struggling with, or that if I'm really honest, are not yet under the Lordship of Christ. Even those parts this year I want to submit to your Lordship, so that there can be one foundation. Because what happens if that part isn't on the same foundation, it isn't isn't properly linked to the rest of the building. Once you go higher, and once you know there's a building happening, there's going to be a massive breaking happening and tearing and cracking and destruction happening. But I feel there's really a grace for us to say, okay, Lord, this, I've been withholding this part, or I've been reluctant to trust you with healing in this area. But I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to allow you to come in here. Maybe it's because of shame. Maybe it's because of pain. Maybe it's because of... It could be many different things. But I felt this grace for us to allow God as a master builder to just come and bring healing and restoration, and to come and bring and allow his lordship, and allow him to bring that firm foundation that is Christ in those areas as well. Amen? So Christ is the cornerstone. He is the foundation. Let's read from Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built into the foundation, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. In 1 Peter 2, he writes about us being living stones being built into this building. Now, the picture I always get when I read this scripture is of a building being built with natural stone. Have you seen that? It's really fascinating because it's just stone being taken from nature and then being built into a home, and it's, or into a wall, into a structure. And it's really difficult because they're all different shapes. And it's really quite an art. But that's the picture I have of God taking each of us, because we're all different, we've got different shapes, and got stuff sticking out, and sometimes you need to just, you know, chop off a little bit here and there to just make sure, you know, it's you still want a natural look, but there's some of the things that's just not good, you know. So then God has to chop stuff off, you know, give it a bit of a work here and there. But ultimately, he puts us in a place where we really just perfectly fit into his design. And that's my question for us this, at the beginning of the year. Are you flourishing in that place where the master builder has fit you in? Sometimes it doesn't feel like the right fit. Sometimes it doesn't feel right, but we need to be able to trust the master builder, the one that has placed us there, to say, okay, Lord, you've placed me here, and I trust that you will make provision for me to flourish in this place that you've put me in this place in your big design, in this place in the big structure, that I can flourish. And I mean, look at the picture of being planted, being rooted in a house, being planted and being bearing fruit and flourishing. With a gardener, where God has placed us and planted us, a similar picture. Are we flourishing in that place that God has placed us as living stones? Now, as Christ being the cornerstone and the foundation, a big part of us, if we look at New Year's resolutions, I don't want to talk about those for very long, but I saw this thing the other day where somebody asked about somebody's New Year's resolution. And I think the person replied, I think it was 19, 20 times 780, something like that. But that's not a really good one, is it? Do you know screen resolution? Yeah. Okay, a bit slow this morning, don't worry. So screen resolution, this some techie guy that made a joke, and he said his resolution for the new year is going to be this, and he had this screen resolution. So, okay, tough crowd. I thought it was quite funny. I suppose the really techie guy, some next door will appreciate that. But anyway, so resolutions don't last long sometimes. But I want to say, at the beginning of this year, we're looking at wanting to be more like Christ. Isn't that ultimately what we're running for? Isn't that ultimately what God is calling us for, is for us to be transformed in the image of His Son? We've spoken about making sure the foundation is Christ throughout. And what I want to add to that is in our roles as each one of us as individuals, as firstly a disciple. And isn't that amazing that whether you are the Pope or the Bishop somebody or whatever position in the Spirit you might attain, you are still a disciple of Christ because you're still following Him and you're still being changed and you're being imparted to and you're being transformed. So as disciples, are we... What is it that God is wanting us to... What does he want to change? What does He want to transform in our lives this year? What are those things that He wants to work in our lives that we will be more like Christ at the end of the year? I want to really challenge us that take some time out as you're praying in the beginning of this year to get to grips with that. Say, okay, God, what... I want to be a better dad, guys. This is a prayer I pray often. I want to... But if I want to really, really be a better father, I need to be more like Jesus. If I want to be better at my job, if I want to be a better friend, if I want to grow in what kind of friend I am, let me save you some time. Just become more like Christ. Amen. But pray through, what does that mean in your life this year? And if God shows you specific things, guys, this is not a comfortable exercise. Please remember this. It's not comfortable to see blind spots or to recognize, oh my goodness, I'm not yet like Jesus. I thought I was so close. But to take those that you feel, okay, well, you know what, yes, I'm going to have to work through this bit, or I have to trust God for that. I want to really challenge you to don't do that in isolation. Find somebody that you trust and that loves you and say to them, listen, this is some of the things that God has laid on my heart for this year. And I don't want this to be another year where December comes and slow down, I realize, oh, yo, I really had a conviction about that. And hopefully so for next year. But let's just come into a habit of saying, Edward, don't you want to hold me accountable? Or Sifiso, don't you want to pray with me once a month? It's just walk this road together. Amen. I feel, you know, when Pastor Tiens was talking about this a couple of years ago, saying if one comes to the end of the year and one can look back, or was it CS that said it, saying, my desire was to become more like Christ, and we can actually measure, we can say, okay, how did I do? What can I change? How can I really grow in these areas? Man, I'm going to have to hurry a little bit. Okay. So, in terms of looking through the eyes of faith, in terms of our eyes of our understanding being enlightened, I just want to run through a few things around that. And I'm not going to read it, but I want to look at, remind you of the time when the nation of Israel were approaching the promised land for the first time. Now, this is a bit scary, but they approached the Jordan twice, right? Or the first time they didn't cross and they didn't go in. And then they spent another 40 odd years in the desert before they went again. So let's just get it right the first time. But anyway, so the first time they went, Moses sent out 12 spies to go and spy out the land. Across the Jordan, they went in there, camouflage, all everything, checking out the land. And those 12 guys, they all received the same information. They looked at the same place. They looked at the same people. They looked at the same facts. But yet they came back with very different answers. Okay? We had 10 of them that were saying, you must see these giants, guys. This is a great kind. Look, don't get me wrong. There's amazing stuff here. There's like massive grapes and this huge produce. And it's just the fruit of the land is amazing. But there are massive giants. We're not going to make it. These guys are huge. But when you look at the scripture in Numbers 13:33, which we don't have on there today, but it's the thing there which we see is they said that we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Okay? I'm going to refer back to that in a moment now. But then we see, we look at Joshua and Caleb. They came back and they had having seen the same thing, having seen the same information, having seen the same country, the same people, they had a different report. You because they were looking through the eyes of faith. They were looking from God's point of view. They said, guys, this place is amazing. This is the place that God has prepared for us. This is what we've been looking forward to. This is the goodness of God. Everything is promises. It's there. Yes, there are giants, but no worries. We're going to take them on. But can you see the powerful difference it makes when we're looking through the eyes of faith? And I'm going to quickly look at a few things. What does it mean if we're not looking through the eyes of faith? And mostly that means we're looking through the eyes of fear. When we're looking through the eyes of fear, we exaggerate difficulties. Okay. Every challenge becomes massive. Every obstacle becomes unconquerable. It just exaggerates everything we face. What happens at the same time is we underestimate our own ability, and most importantly, we underestimate God's ability. And this is what happened to those 10 guys that were looking through fear. The scripture says that they said we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. They didn't say we were grasshoppers in the Canaanites' eyes. We were grasshoppers in our own eyes. You see that thing there? How often when we look through eyes of fear, we just look at ourselves and think, oh no, you know, it's just me. What difference can I do? What difference can I make? I saw this ad on a bus the other day of a photo of Nelson Mandela. Do you see? Saying, what difference can one man, what difference can one man make? But so we tend to look at ourselves, and we sometimes get a word and somebody prophesies and you think, I think they got this one wrong. that's not me. I can't do that stuff. We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And let's be careful this year that we do not fall in the trap of looking through the eyes of fear and then underestimating not only our own ability, but more importantly, God's ability and His power at work in and through us. What happens when we work through the eyes of fear is we get discouraged. And we often give up. It's so easy to just, you know, if things don't go exactly right from the start, or things, there's little niggles or little obstacles that happen, we just get discouraged. It happens when we look through the eyes of fear and we end up giving up. And another thing that happens is we tend to blame God. Isn't that crazy? We tend to become a bit cynical, and life's not fun anymore. It's working out. We're coming from a point of view where God is a miracle. Every problem becomes an opportunity or a sticking stone. Every challenge becomes something that we recognize the hand of God in. When we see from God's point of view, it's easy to recognize, oh, you know what God is doing is actually working here in me. It's not comfortable. But you know what? God is doing it. Walking in faith, looking through the eyes of faith, pleases God. Guys, Hebrews 11 says that it is without faith it is impossible to please God. Anyone looks at it differently, it means that with faith it is indeed possible for us to please God. Amen. And God responds to faith. Faith opens the door for miracles. When we look from a point of view of nothing is too hard for God, nothing is impossible for Him, that's when we make room for miracles. We make room for God to do the supernatural in our lives and through our lives. Amen. God, like I said, God responds to faith. His promises are yes and amen. He responds to faith. Amen. When we're looking through the eyes of faith and we're choosing to look and position ourselves. Now, this is a key. Looking from God's perspective, it requires a positioning of ourselves. It requires us to position ourselves not only in the presence of God, but in the Word of God. It requires us to position ourselves in a place where almost the default point of view becomes God's point of view. Amen. In other words, our default point of view becomes looking from His point of view. And that helps us, when you look at it, walk in faith, helps us to persevere. It helps us to press through, like I said, to press through those difficult parts and the uncomfortable parts, because we recognize, oh, this is what God is doing. Or sometimes, even if we don't see the full picture yet, at least when we're walking in faith, we have that conviction, God is busy, God is at work, God is working, He's in this, He's with me. The difficult bits. Okay. Was it Steve Beck? What's his name? Steve Beckin that said, what we believe, our thoughts, our words, and our beliefs about something are more important than what we actually do about something. Now, this goes. As they were still on their way, the news came that she passed away. She was already dead. And the message was, do not bother him any longer. It's too late. But if you remind ourselves, let's remind ourselves what Christ said. He said to this father who just received the news that his daughter has died, he says to this father, he says, do not fear. Only believe. Yes, I'm not saying what we do is not important, but all of that will determine how we walk, how we talk, and how we act. If we position ourselves and we direct, allow Holy Spirit to direct us, and that we walk with the eyes of faith, we walk according to what the Master has already envisaged. This morning I want us to pray through a few things. Firstly, what perspective are you looking from? Through which glasses or through which eyes are you looking through? Are you, you know, sometimes at the beginning of the year is a tendency. Well, I've spoken to some people that, and you get the feeling that these guys are like more like bracing themselves. You know, some people at the beginning of the year, they're like, yeah. It's a new year, it's a new season, and they woo, and they're ready to go, and like, what are you on? But some are just kind of, okay, brace yourself. It's a new year type of thing. So whichever camp you fall into, I want to ask, what eyes are you looking through? Are you looking through the eyes of faith? Are you positioning yourself to see from God's point of view? And are you allowing Him to build you and shape you into that place that where you can flourish, where you can bear fruit, where you can grow, but also just everything that happens will be to His glory and will be for His name's sake. Amen. Let's stand this morning. If you're comfortable to stand, you can sit as well. I just want to close with this last scripture. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's 9 to 12. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of God of man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now we love the scripture, but we love that first bit, right? Eye has not seen, we love to quote this, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And this is true. But then it says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Guys, that's true. That we cannot imagine what God has prepared for us. I want you to, and if you think of, if you remove every restriction, if you remove all the restrictions of what is possible, all the ceilings that the enemy wants to put on us of this is not possible, or all the walls that the enemy wants to build around us in terms of restricting us in terms of what God can do, what might he want to do, or what is he able to do. If you remove all those restrictions and we lift up our eyes and we imagine, then I want to say, even if you imagine your wildest dreams, I would say you're still short. You're still missing it, because God wants to do even more than that. But then he says here, through the Spirit of God, he wants to reveal to us what he has prepared. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And I want to ask that in this time of preparation, in this time of next week, when we're going to, after the Activation Sunday, when we're going to be praying and fasting, this is what it's all about, saying, Lord, open our eyes. Reveal to us the things that you've prepared. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard. We haven't even imagined it, but Lord, show us. Reveal it to us, that we can walk in it, that we can run with you, that we can see your kingdom come, that we can see your glory manifest. That's why we're here. That we can see the kingdom of God come in power in this year like we've never seen before. But let us position ourselves in the Spirit so that we can actually show to us. That we can see from his perspective, that we can see from his point of view, and that he can launch us into this year, into what he has prepared. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can stand in awe, Lord, of your promises in Scripture. Lord, we stand in awe of your goodness toward us, Lord. Lord, your word says, Lord, that goodness and mercy will follow us, Lord, all the days of our life, Lord. And we thank you that that is a fact and a truth that we can take into this year, Lord, that whatever happens, we know your goodness and your mercy follow us, God. We cannot shake them off. We cannot escape your goodness and mercy, Lord. They follow us, God. God, oh, I thank you that we can come and bow before you at the beginning of this year, Lord. We can look at the foundation that you've raised, that you've laid in our lives, God. We say all glory and all power and all honor belong to you, that you, through the blood of Jesus, you've laid this foundation. But I thank you, Lord, for grace at the beginning of this year, God, to Holy Spirit, for to you, and Lord, to invite you into those parts of the building, those parts of our lives, Lord, maybe we have been reluctant to open the door. Maybe there's hurt, maybe there's pain, maybe there's shame, maybe there's unforgiveness, or maybe there's just guilt. You might say that, look, you don't know what's in my past, you don't know what's been happening. It's crazy. crazy. Nobody knows about these things. And this is a secret room at the back of a house that nobody has to touch. Not even God can go in there. Father, this morning we thank you for grace, Lord, for us to open those doors. For grace to allow you, to invite you in, to say, Lord, come. Come as Savior. Come as Redeemer. Come as Healer. Areas of my life, Lord. Just if you feel Holy Spirit pointing something out to you now, while every eye is closed, just take a moment and say, Lord, I haven't even thought about this for so long, but I trust you. I invite you in to this part to come and bring healing and bring restoration and forgiveness. So just where you are, just take a moment. Even like Peter, we step out of the boat onto the sea, God. We step out in faith. We don't do it on a whim, Lord. We don't do it just randomly. We do it because you call us, God. Jesus says, come. Come to me on the water. And I thank you today, Lord, that we would declare, Lord, yes, when you call us out on the water this year, that we would go, Father. We would step out of what is comfortable. We would step out of what we know, Father. We would step out of what is easy, Father. We say, God, where you call us, everything is possible for you. We would step out onto the water, onto the waves, God, in Jesus' name. God, our desire, Lord, this year, God, is to see this glorious building that you are establishing, this glorious kingdom, Lord, that is coming. That to be in that part of as individuals, Lord, our desire is to know that we've taken and run with that abundance for every good work, Lord, for this year, God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that you call us to become like Jesus. Thank you that you call us to be transformed into the image of your Son. And I thank you this year, Lord. Thank you for the grace, Lord, to not only be disciples, but to make disciples, God. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that as we follow you, Lord Jesus, we take somebody else's hand, Lord, so we help them to take those steps that we have already taken for them. Thank you, Lord, right now, even as our eyes close, I just feel God wants to lay specific people on your heart, even people that you've known or people or relationships that are already in place, some maybe that you have not thought of in that way, but I just feel that God wants us to be deliberate in these relationships. And right now, just Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd lay specific people on the hearts of your people, people that maybe don't even know you yet, people that maybe not even Christians yet, not even believers yet, Lord, but thank you for opportunities this year to take them by the hand and to deliberately walk a road of friendship, walk a road of accountability, walk a road of discipleship, God, in Jesus' name. Sacrifice the world has ever seen. Lord Jesus, you've endured the cross and you rose from the dead. And all we have to give in gratitude is our lives laid down. Say, Lord Jesus, your kingdom come. Your name be glorified in and through us, Lord. In and through Shofar London. In and through Shofar. In and through your body. The greater body in this city, in this nation, Lord, your kingdom come. Your name be made glorified, your glorious Lord. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name. If you feel the Lord has spoken to you specifically, if you feel you need to just take a step of faith and choose not to look through the eyes of fear, but to look through the eyes of faith, I want you to come forward and we'd love to pray with you, just come in agreement with you. And if there's a specific area that you feel is a part that you're entrusting God to come and redeem this year, part of that building that has not yet the foundation of Christ, then I want you to be bold and really, yeah, be bold and come forward and ask somebody to pray with you, just to say, God, I trust you and I step out and I look to you. Amen. So we'll be in the front here. If you have any other prayer needs, God has made provision for you. Amen. He hasn't changed his mind about healing. Provision. He's still Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh. Amen. So if you have any need at all, we'd love to agree with you in prayer. So be bold to come forward. If the Lord is speaking to you, people, the reason why we have an altar call is because when God speaks, we need to respond. Amen. So we're giving you an opportunity to respond if God has spoken to you. And we'd love to pray with you. Amen. If you'd like us to join us with some refreshments. There will be some next door. Otherwise, let's just enjoy the presence of God and we'll be ministry in the front. Okay, amen. Thanks.
Before.